and queer folks who are both vulnerable folks because they're highly traumatized. Being Indigenous, it's highly traumatizing. Being queer is highly traumatizing. You combine that, that's a complex trauma that you're dealing with. And any places that we are and that we're there and we have our voices there, that's impacting decisions, whether it's on a small scale or large. I want to get to the bigger scales. Those are difficult and more harder conversations to navigate through. But I feel like it's possible. It's absolutely 100% possible. You know, when we do this work without core funding, all these other Indigenous organizations like the AFN, Métis Nation, NWAC, they get core funding. We don't. We do this on shoestring budgets, meaning I apply for 6 budgets and out of their admin costs, that's what's paying for my wage to be there. Whereas everybody else is at this level playing field, at least at the bare minimum, they have those things met. And it's not that I want to take away from those communities because I feel like those communities well represent our Indigenous communities. But we need a representation of 2S at that table. You can't tell me it's the same thing as making decisions for queer people and we're not at the table.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me. I have to be there. I'm not saying me myself as a personal person, but I feel like there needs to be more 2S people sitting at those tables that are knowledgeable, that can carry a good message, and that can come back to places like our executive director council that have 13 kin organizations collaborating together, working together, and trying to have fairness of just being at those tables that create change. I don't know if that makes sense. No, but
yeah, it makes sense.
Essentially what we want, you know?
Yeah, that is definitely, you're right, very hard to do when there are people, other people at the table that aren't even questioning things like human rights or don't know what that experience is like with the ignorance that you're talking about too. So
I think about it and like, how can you speak about something you've never lived?
Yeah, exactly.
How can you care about something you've never experienced? If you've never experienced racism in your entire life, in your ideology, you think it does not exist. But when you come out of this world, especially the way I look, I look Indigenous. Some people don't know what kind of Indigenous. They think I'm everything. They claim me. They're like, I go on vacation. They're like, you're one of us. And I'm like, probably. We're probably related somewhere. You know, but like, if you're not walking in the world where, I'll use this analogy, and it was given to me at a very young age by my grandfather. He always said, you need to get up early, you need to get there on time. You need to be there early, like 15 minutes early to half an hour early to anything that you have to go to. Okay, why? I was 17, didn't know much about life. And he said, because being Indigenous, you're starting at the bottom of the barrel. They're not going to pick you all the time. Being female identified, they're not going to pick you. You're not going to be a priority. They're not going to be the thing that they want. And being Wingte, you're 3 steps behind already. And all you did was wake up.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're white, cisgendered male, you wake up, you have the opportunity right there. It's right there. All you got to do is extend your hand and take it. But you have all of these other steps just to catch up to that guy. So at least you could do is work hard and show up. That's the bare minimum, so that at least you're at the playing field with them. But it's going to take grit to be there, because they're going to try and intimidate you that you don't belong. You said, but you know better. You know who you are. You're Dakota, you're Cree. You know that. You know you're Wingte. You know that. You know you're female identified. You know that. You know that you're Indigenous identified. You know that. You know who you are. You know where you're going. That you have intention and purpose in this world. If you can feel your heartbeat, chante washte. You'd always say that. You can feel that, your heart, chante. You need to always say, put your hand like this. You need to tell me, you know, put your right hand in like you're going to pinch something. And you put it towards your heart and you tap on your chest. And you say, you feel that? That's purpose. Anything you do with good heart, good things come out of it. So it's being able to think in that kind of mentality. That's what I've been given. I know not everybody has that. I know that being brought up in traditional, ceremonial customs, protocol, and procedures, it wasn't easy. I didn't have it easy. I was ridiculed in those spaces. But having guidance like that, mentors like that, that fought for me to be there, being like, no, no, they belonged sitting here. You may see a female identified. I see someone that's going to be a leader. They need to understand these roles and responsibilities at these small spaces of ceremony. They deserve to sit here. And he would shoo them away. I had strong mentors like that, that sat in places that people didn't want them. But they did that. Because they would always remind people, hey, we're not in residential school anymore. We don't follow their rules. Because here, we have natural law. And we know when we don't do things right, natural law takes over. There's customs that guide us. And the biggest thing is natural law. And one of them is being kind to our own people. Kindness is very hard to get. Respect is even harder. You got to earn it. So he would teach me these things. I come with that at the table. Not everybody has that, and I'm aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I find when I come to these spaces is that our youth are saying, we don't have culture. We don't have access to culture because there's gatekeepers there that they're saying, no, you can't come the way you are. No, you have to sit there. No, you can't come. Oh, you haven't been sober for 4 days? You need to not come. I grew up with those same protocols. But I also know that you don't go to the hospital well. You know, you come to those things sick. So give me a job that could be meaningful. I wasn't sober ever for a good chunk of my life. And my grandfather would say, go chop wood. Go chop all the wood for the sweat that they're going to have. Go chop all the wood. And you pray about it. Okay. It was a lot of grunt work. Yeah. I had to learn those things. I earned my space back. I had to earn it back. And it was those places, it was that foundation of those small understandings that gets me to that understanding of like, no, I got to help my people. I got to help all my people. You know?
Yeah.
And I can't, and it's not this euphoric way of like, I'm going to save everybody. I'm not trying to do the savior mentality. People can save themselves. They have the tools and equipment. I just got to be there to help guide them. We all need that.
That concludes the end of part one of this two-part interview with Paulette Petra. Next week at the same time on Thursday, we will continue the discussion and focus on looking 7 generations ahead and the power of traditional Indigenous art. Thank you all for listening to this episode of Pride Programming, and I'll see you next week.
Part two of Logan Hathaway's interview will be airing next Tuesday on Speak Up at 10 a.m. That's Tuesday, September 24th at 10 a.m. So please tune in again then for part two.
I give you everything, any part and all of me. I give you all the blessings I have seen. And when I lose myself, yeah, some days are hard to take. You're my moonlit summer path that lights the way. If you let me, my dear, I will hold on to your heart like the first time that you fell into my arms. And I would march up to that. sing your name, and I know that through it all you do the same. I give you everything, any part and all of me. I give you all the blessings I've seen. And when I lose myself, yeah, some days are hard to take. You're my moonlit summer path that lights the way. Like the flowers that grow when the storms have come to pass, all the troubles we've known and wondered why. Every sunset that I've witnessed, you're somewhere in your eyes. And I know down to my bones reasons why. Yeah, some days are hard to take. You're my moonlit summer path that lights the way. I give you everything, any part in all of me. I give you all the blessings I have seen. And when I lose myself, yeah, some days are hard to take. You're my moonlit summer path that lights the way. You're my moonlit summer path that lights the way. You're my moonlit summer path that lights the way.
Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. Today on CICK News, Red Eagle Feather, or Kevin Brown, is the Climate Action Coordinator for Old Masset. His experience working for the band, Old Masset Village Council, and the Council of the Haida Nation Senior Government in the past 40 years, including Salmon Enhancement Manager, Economic Development Manager, and Lands Officer, have all helped prepare him for his new position, helping to build programs and infrastructure to ensure food sovereignty for the people of Haida Gwaii. Red Eagle Feather is on the news today to speak to me about the Old Masset Village Grocer, which are two modular buildings installed in Old Masset across from the Adult Day Center to grow hydroponic vegetables for the people of Old Masset. This project is funded by the Stronger BC Rural Provincial Development Program, which includes the purchase of the buildings from Grocer, a Canadian company that builds these modular buildings in Manitoba, training for staff, and startup money to get the grocer off the ground. At this time, the buildings are in place and waiting for a hydro hookup, but members of Old Masset could be eating healthy, locally grown greens by this winter.
My name is Kevin Brown, and I'm a climate action coordinator for Old Masset, which is basically a community energy champion. And we look at things, anything related to energy, domestic or feed, and then demand side management on buildings and homes, as well as food sovereignty initiatives.
Yeah, and we've got a pretty exciting initiative, food-based initiative to speak about, which is the grocer trailers. So can you tell me just a little kind of nuts and bolts? What are they going to grow and who's going to maintain these two trailers?
Okay, sure. Thank you. I started my position in 2019, and then I was looking on a webpage on ICE, Indigenous Clean Energy, a national program, and they had an advert for grocer as one of their vendors. And so I followed up on that and looked at it, and it looked really awesome to be able to grow hydroponics all year round in any climate. We live in a temperate zone, and growing is seasonal. We get really long days in the spring and summer, really short winters. So we need to mitigate that by other measures like heat and lighting in greenhouses, which we're pursuing as well. And at the time, the model they had would be producing 400 plants once a week up and running. And then since then, they've upgraded and we were declined the first application for funding. And then following year, 2021, we were asked to resubmit, but then they had upgraded their model to 600 plants a week, which is awesome. So we had to adjust our funding accordingly. And the notion is to hire two people full time and expand the project as much as it can expand, exist where it is existing, and grow greens all year round. So looking forward to that. We're getting so close.
And I wonder if you could tell me how this will affect the lives of people in Old Massa.
I'm Johnny come lately to this as the high school has hydroponics and a greenhouse, and our elders building has a greenhouse as well. So over the 10 years, they've changed the landscape of how we're eating in Old Massa through lunch programs, senior programs, and switching. So it was really refreshing to go back to the high school and visit the science teacher and see them in the lunchroom eating greens. When I was there, it was pizza for lunch, donuts for a recess.
Right.
And then at the elders' home, they were apprehensive that eating greens at first until they actually got their hands dirty and started planting seedlings and that sort of thing. So then they wanted to taste the fruits of their labor. And today, that's where we are. People are eating much healthier. We are currently waiting for Hydro to install a transformer to ensure that we get our power needs. And that was part of the difficulty, is not being on the main grid of BC and being remote. So it definitely has its own challenges, for sure.
So you'll be looking for people to maintain the trailers, one for growing, and then I believe there's another trailer for packaging and selling. Are you looking for people with specific training or skills, or is that part of this program to empower people to learn this skill?
I think part of it is that, just because of what the high school has been doing and teaching kids already, and I'm hoping to connect with the science teacher to see who has potential of doing this and have a green thumb.
Now, looking ahead, this is part of a trend for more sustainable food sovereignty for the people of Haida Gwaii. Where do you see this fitting into the greater scheme?
I think because of our remoteness, it's a long time coming. Just because of the state of the produce that comes here, I think if we were in the lower mainland like Vancouver, they wouldn't even put them on the shelf. And the cost of the transportation. So the cost of food, you're not getting the best food because you're paying more. You're just getting it because of the transportation and how far it comes. And then on food sovereignty and food security itself, we don't know where the food is coming from and what chemicals go into these things. So I think the better we know what goes into it and the more organic you are, the better everybody is going to be. And there's definitely interest locally, for sure.
Have you been doing surveys to see what people want to eat and what they want to grow? Or are you not at that community engagement process yet?
Oh, Grocer was actually really good about this. And since they've started, they've got about 55 different grocer setups around the country now, up in north, east, west. And they asked me to go into our co-op to see what kind of produce we were buying. And then they came up with a list from there. And then to train the new employees, they have something called Root Camp that they will send a couple of technicians to Ottawa, because they'd have a full-blown setup with new plants, old plants. If they started here, we'd just be starting green. So mm-hmm. they don't have any idea of harvesting or what and that sort of thing. So they'd have good hands-on of the whole process with a full-blown setup, and then come back and then be in contact centrally with grocer to when to harvest this, when to plant this, that kind of thing. So it's a really cool model.
Yeah, absolutely. So
yeah,
this is really going to change the eating habits of a lot of people, just because now the doors are so much wider open for them.
Yes, yes. I think it expands it because it's already in play in the transition with the existing growing. Because COVID gave us an opportunity to have a really good look at our food sovereignty, water sovereignty. So we talked about, we had webinars with our senior governments on where we see ourselves in 50 years. So it was a good visioning project. And then to look back, on the history before we have the BC ferries coming into Ahadegawa 5 days a week. We used to have a freighter once a month. And so then we are much more self-reliant in terms of gardens and that sort of thing. So we're repeating history, repeating itself, I guess you would say.
Yeah, back to a simpler time.
Yes, I think it's applicable to any community like ours and temperate or even freezing and essential, especially First Nation communities, because it seems to me that we're all under the sort of the all in the same boat in terms of processed food and cheap pop and stuff like that. Like all the non-nutritional foods are cheap and accessible compared to the fruits and vegetables. So it definitely needs to be changes, and if we can grow it, then we should.
Absolutely. And once someone's figured it out and has a grasp on how it works for their community and maybe the specifics, that you can be more willing, or you have the information and the knowledge to be able to help another community that's remote, but perhaps with some similar temperate climate, and then you can
Yeah.
start affecting more of this change throughout communities throughout Canada and probably the rest of the world.
And that is happening right now with my title as climate action coordinators. I have peers on the North Coast, down to the Central Coast, down to Bella, and we share best practices.
Okay. Thank you so much for talking about this project with me.
Yes, very exciting. Thanks for inviting me.
I be to the game, let my flows go. Yeah. I do. Money on my mind and my cross mind too. Yeah. I do. I be to the game, let my flows go. I do. Money on my mind and my cross mind too. I do. I be to the game, let my flows go. What's the power in a name? I saw and I came, taking the game with pure skill. You're doing this for the thrill, this business is optional. If I shut for nil, I'ma spend my weekend at the court for real. You talk like you been caught for real, but when you get in caught for real, know the loudest voice is always first ones to talk and squeal. Control my thoughts, putting them on the porch. Public displays of bravery, I'm aiming for purple hearts. Seek assignments, deceitful obvious and equals. Hallucinations to speak, who you trying to see the eyes of eagles? You can read me like my text come in braille. So when I get my money, keeping it hidden just like the grail. That's me, I'm the competitor, a young Jay-Z. Smart with the mouth, a tricks to God, but I keep it low-key. I'm hitting runs till I'm home, see I'm pitching my game. Taking my shot at the bar, so I'm spitting this flame, you know.
I do, married to the game.
To the game, let my flows go through. I do. Money on my mind and my cross mind too. What's my name? What's the sound? Skating in my hover boots, I'm floating all around. Picking pop my mental and I'm looking for my crown. I just pop a sensor when I'm shooting off my rounds. And I'm aiming right at you. Hunt you down at 47, what you gonna do? Hunt you down at credit, tell me who you praying to. Ain't nobody fucking with me and my crew.
To listen to? Want to know about up-and-coming artists, albums, and more? Well, come hang out with me every Tuesday from 12 to 1. Raccoon City's where I'll be. Hope to see you there.
This is a C2N News update. After purchasing Casino Nanaimo, the Sinemuk First Nations is celebrating the purchase of another casino on Vancouver Island. On September 10th, Sinemuk First Nations signed a definitive agreement for Great Canadian Entertainment to sell Elements Casino Victoria to the nation's Petroglyph Development Group, the This comes after the nation purchased Casino Nanaimo in downtown Nanaimo back in June of this year from Great Canadian Entertainment, which operates gambling, entertainment, and hospitality facilities in Ontario, British Columbia, New Brunswick, and Nova Scotia. The initial purchase of the Nanaimo Casino is what led to the opportunity for the nation to purchase the Victoria One. CHY attended the signing at the Sinemuk Recreation and Wellness Center. Sinemuk First Nations Chief Mike Wise told the crowd that Sinemuk is full of bold decisions that make decisive action to unlock their economic potential and allow them to build a strong nation to improve the lives of their people.
This acquisition signals both growth and opportunity for our people and the generations to come. We share this news with you with excitement, happiness, and readiness to optimize this asset with measure and a steady vision.
He says this venture will contribute to creating lasting prosperity for both the present and future generations to come. He says the casino acquisitions are one of the many priorities the nation has that will have a transformative effect on the nation and help them achieve their goals.
Today we advance our community's vision, driving forward accomplishments and moving on to operating the business in a measured, responsible, and profitable manner. By acquiring this established business with immediate profitability, our people understood how a steady, sustainable cash flow would strengthen our autonomy as a nation and create job opportunities for our people.
Wise says these ventures will allow them to reinvest in the nation while not being constrained by colonial financial structures.
So often we're made to say that we can't. No. We don't have the budget. That has happened way too many times. Now we're going to have the opportunity to move forward.
Terrence Doyle is the president of Great Canadian Entertainment. He says the acquisitions of the two casinos make Sinemuk a significant player in the BC gambling industry.
I also wanted to make sure that people know that you have my commitment that as we move forward through the process to close this transaction and to get into the operating of this business, that you have my dedication and my complete support to do everything I can to make sure that the business is successful, not just in the short term, but in the long term.
After the signing, CHY spoke with Chief Wise and Doyle about the announcement. Wise says they are excited to work with Great Canadian Entertainment to bring this project to life. While they both would like to see ownership handed over immediately, now that the agreement has been signed, Doyle explains it's not that easy.
Incredibly well. There's a process that you have to go through to close the transaction, which really comes around regulatory approvals that are done by BCLC and GPEB, the Gaming Policy and Enforcement Branch, and that work is well underway with Sinemo to get that done as soon as possible.
But Doyle says things are moving quickly for the acquisition.
The regulators are very busy and they work really well with us, but it's probably a good, you know, 4 or 5, 6 months by the time we get all those regulatory approvals in place and actually hand over the operation of the casinos.
When asked about the purchase price for the Victoria Casino, Wise declined to comment, but said they are working with the First Nations Finance Authority and have received a loan from them. As the Victoria Casino is not on Sinemuk territory, Wise says they plan on reaching out to the local nations to connect and work with them on this new initiative. The casino purchase was not the only announcement that day. Wise announced that Sinemuk has received funding through BC Housing to create 58 new affordable housing rental homes on the reserve for their members. The 58-unit project will consist of a combination of 1 to 4 bedroom units that has a development value of $47 million. Wise says the housing will be ready for tenants in approximately 2 years. For CHY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
The Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival is back. Still Moon Arts Society is proud to announce the 22nd annual Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival. A fusion of art, nature, and community, this month-long festival celebrates the Harvest Moon, Still Creek, local art, and the diverse cultural traditions of the Renfrew Collingwood neighbourhood. Attendees can expect dazzling lanterns, live music, dance, food, art and nature workshops, and community performances, all including making salmon lanterns, mooncakes, and guided tours. Connect with the local nature as a community to raise awareness and bring positive change to restore Renfrew Ravine to its natural beauty. Learn more and register at stillmoonarts.ca.